Thanks, Doug, for the good songs this morning. I was reminded there at the very end of the influence that we have as those that are involved in a public way. Little Ptolemy was there following Doug along with his hand as he was leading those songs. And it's just an important thing to recognize and remember that the things that we do are seen by others. We're so thankful for this opportunity to be together this morning. I want to invite you, if you will, to turn to Colossians. The book of Colossians this morning will be the text from which we will take our study together today. And it is, as has already been expressed, such a wonderful time to be together, a great day. We do have many of our families that are traveling. Let's remember them as they are away from us for the holidays. What a wonderful week that we have had. We are, as has been mentioned, so thankful for our new sister in Christ, Jakira Lee. So thankful for her. And unfortunately, just a couple days later, has an accident and is now in the hospital, which we certainly regret. But she's doing okay, I think, struggling with the rehab now. But thankful to Christ for His grace and for her obedience to that. We rejoice in that. When we describe the book of Philippians, I think the first thing that comes to our minds, no doubt, is the word joy. We have on many occasions discussed the fact that while Paul was in prison, that he wrote this book of Philippians to a group of Christians and is expressive over and over again of his joy and rejoicing. He says there in Philippians 4 and verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say, rejoice. And then in chapter 2, and all throughout that book, it is scattered that same refrain. I am glad and rejoice with you all, and also be glad and rejoice with me. At the same time that Paul wrote the book of Philippians, he also penned the book of Colossians. And Colossians, in like manner, I think, has some very threaded themes throughout the book. And primarily the one that I want for us to notice this morning is the one that has already been mentioned several times today. And that is the idea of thanksgiving. When we look at the book of Colossians, in every chapter, there is that same topic that is mentioned by Paul, and that is thankfulness. Let's turn our attention to that. It's always nice as a preacher to have some particular topic that kind of falls in line as the year goes along. And so it's an easy thing to be thinking about as we arrive at that time in our nation where we give thanks to God. But the thing about Colossians is it's not as much perhaps just thanksgiving as it needs to be defined. But rather, the thing that I want for us to turn our attention to is that really in Colossians, Paul talks about what thanksgiving does. It's not just the need for it, but actually what it does for us. And what, not only that we should do that, but what it produces in us. We have so much to be thankful for. And I hope we recognize that. I hope we recognize that the time we live and the place we live is such a blessing. And we are so fortunate. But far more than that pales in comparison to the spiritual benefits that God has showered down upon us. It is a terrible thing not to give thanksgiving. Darren has been talking about in this class in Romans chapter 1. We learn of some folks that knew God, but they did not glorify Him, nor were thankful. That's an important thing, that people that know God would glorify God and be thankful to Him. Well, Colossians talks about some reasons for that and what that thanksgiving does. Let's turn our attention to that, will you, for a few minutes. Besides the normal introductory remarks where he mentions thanksgiving, that's a normal thing for Paul in his epistles. He always gives thanks to God for the people to whom he is writing. That's normal, very early there in Colossians chapter 1. But in Colossians 1, in Colossians 2, in Colossians 3, in Colossians 4, every single chapter, the idea of thankfulness is mentioned and what that thankfulness does for us. Colossians chapter 1 and verses 11 through 14. First of all, thanksgiving, and this is probably the most obvious, I think, when we think about that, is that it demonstrates our appreciation to God. That's what it does. It does demonstrate our appreciation to God. Consider, if you will, the blessings that we see here. Let's begin in verse 11 of Colossians 1. Strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light, he has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. First of all, in verse 12, he has qualified us. There are three things that he mentions here about this when it comes to demonstrating our appreciation to God, that he has blessed us in so many ways. And firstly, that he has qualified us. That's a great thing that he has done, because without him, we would be utterly disqualified for all of the blessings that Jesus has prepared and for eternal life. We are not illegitimate. We are legitimate. And he has made us that. It is nothing that we have inherently of ourselves. We've been talking about that in our Bible study. But he has qualified us. He has brought us to that position of acceptance. And really the idea there is more, we might equate that with citizenship. That we have a social security number, we have a birth certificate that can show that, or we've gone through some process by which we enjoy and participate and live in such a way and enjoy the opportunities of that citizenship. He has qualified us, you see, to be partakers in an inheritance. And it's not like a physical inheritance, but it is that which God has made ready for us. It's what Christ ushered in by his death, the New Testament. It's everything that God intended for us. And we enjoy such riches as God's people. And we participate in and partake in his mercy, verse 12, because we are saints, we are chosen in him. And he has done all of that for us. But to be qualified, to have that opportunity is a wonderful thing. And he goes on to say he has delivered us. And oh, how we needed deliverance. Oh, how I needed deliverance. And that's what he has done for us. What has he delivered us from? Verse 12 and 13. He has delivered us from darkness. He has delivered us, and now we are in the light. I don't know how many of you may have ever been in caves before, or have gone to certain places where you go down, and maybe it's a tour, and you go down and all of that path is lit, and then they turn off the lights. You're down in the recesses of that cave and they just kill the lights. And what a feeling that is, to not even be able to see your hand in front of your face. I cannot imagine what it would have been like to have been those Chilean miners down in the abyss of that earth for weeks and weeks, or even those kids in Thailand for several weeks in a cave completely dark. Well, figuratively, I do understand that. And all of us that have come from that place of understanding our lost condition and the darkness of that, and now God has delivered us, we can appreciate that. Look at Colossians chapter 2. He has delivered us from darkness, and he has done that by his cross. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 14, he says, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross, having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it, and that it is the cross of the previous verse. By his cross, we have been removed from that darkness. I cannot imagine how you couldn't be thankful for that. How can we not be thankful for that? You know, I can't imagine a scenario where there were a group of prisoners in a concentration camp and along comes a foreign army and delivers them from that, and then not a word of thanks. Not an expression of gratitude. I knew two girls in Mexico. I've met both of them. One girl is a faithful Christian and an honorable person. The other, not so much. But the faithful Christian gave one of her kidneys last year to this other girl. And since that time, she has not acknowledged her existence. Not a word of thanks. Not an expression in any way of her appreciation for that sacrifice. There is a justifiable and right response to what God has done for that. And folks, that is walking worthily of what He has done. Chapter 1 and verse 10 talks about that. We ought to walk worthily. When we recognize what He has done, when we recognize that He has delivered us, that we ought to walk in such a way and be filled with gratitude. And if you are not filled with gratitude, then you are not walking worthily. If you are not thankful every day for the grace and mercy of God, then you are not walking worthily. If you allow complaining and negativity to fill your soul and that characterizes your existence, you are not walking worthily. He has delivered us. He has qualified us. And then to go beyond that, He has transferred or conveyed us into a completely different place. It's not only that He took us out of something, you see, but He put us into something. And that's a wonderful thing. That He has translated us or moved us, conveyed us, conveyor belt, moved us from one place to the other. And the drastic difference of those two. The language here is that of the Exodus. It is being taken from Egypt to Canaan. It is not only about leaving bondage, but it is about what God has prepared in its place. You look back into the book of Exodus, and God talks about in Exodus 19 and verse 6 that He would make His nation a kingdom of priests. And that He would take them from where they were and He would take them into a new land, and they would be a holy nation and they would be a kingdom of priests. And that's what He has done for us. He has taken us from the land of Egypt. He has taken us to Canaan, and He has made us a kingdom of priests. And that's what He says there. If you notice verse 13 and verse 14, He has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. Coming down to verse 13, He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. Now you tell me how we cannot be every single day of our lives thankful to our God for being so good to us. What a wonderful God we serve. And that gratitude demonstrates our knowledge and understanding of that. But it does so much more. And as you look into chapter 2, let's now go to the next chapter. In chapter 2, in Colossians chapter 2, and verses 5 through 7, He says, "For though I am absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving." That ought to characterize us. And what that thanksgiving does, folks, is it prevents us, verse 8 and following, from a lot of false things. If you appreciate, if you really appreciate what Jesus Christ has done and where we are now, that's going to keep us from looking for from anything else. In verse 8, the very next thing He says after that, abounding in thanksgiving, beware lest anyone cheat you of philosophy and empty deceit. You have got everything that you need. It is absolutely wonderful. It is complete. And how could you then look for anything else when you have everything that you could possibly ask for? And everything that he has given you. And he goes on, and as you go down through the rest of this chapter, verse 11, they were needing to be warned about circumcision and some false teaching related to that. Verse 16, that no one judge you in food or drink or a festival or new moons or Sabbaths. Verse 18, delight in false humility, worship of angels, other things that he mentions down through the end of the chapter here. Do not touch, do not taste, different things that they needed to be warned about. We have everything, folks. How could we possibly need anything else? And they could resist those outside concerns by properly walking in Christ. Verse 5, Paul says that he rejoiced to see their good order. And what you recognize here, and shouldn't we recognize that once we're complete, that we don't need anything? That's like the scriptures having been fulfilled in full. 2 Peter 1 and verse 3, you've been given all things necessary to life and godliness. We don't need anything else. We don't need to look elsewhere. We can just stand right where we are because we have been made complete in Christ. We don't need anything else. Verse 28 of chapter 1 tells us that we can be complete in him. Thanksgiving helps us not to give too much attention to all of that other stuff that so many are appealed to by. In him are all the treasures. You see what he says? All the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Chapter 2 and verse 3, that same context. In him we can fully understand. Chapter 2 and verse 2, and folks, in him all things consist. When I try to hold my world together by myself, I fail every single time. But when I try to hold it together with him, that's when I have success. If we look at chapter 2 and verse 8, if we look to men, if we look to the world, we are not thankful. We do not understand. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. Thankfulness in Christ keeps us from going anywhere else. There's nothing more to gain by going anywhere else. Next chapter, chapter 3 and verses 15 through 17. Terry was reading my mind this morning when he turned to this passage, Colossians chapter 3, verses 15 through 17. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. What that thankfulness does is it moves us to love the word of God. And to love to sing. To sing praises to him. Verse 16. Out of a thankful heart, we allow God to rule in our lives richly. I'll tell you what unthankfulness does. Unthankfulness allows the Bible perpetually to sit on the shelf. Thankfulness will cause us to get it down and to read it. And for that word to fill our hearts. Be thankful. When it does, that word will enter into our hearts as we are thankful for what God has done. We want to know more. We want to sing praises to him. Thankful people, folks, are moved to worship God. That's a very simple thing. You don't have to turn to Hebrews 10 and verse 25. That's a great passage to have. But thankful people will worship God. It's not a have-to kind of thing. We recognize what God has done, and with thanksgiving we come together on the first day of the week. When Christians are assembled, we're there because we're thankful. We are called to fellowship in one body, verse 15. Thankfulness will have something to say about our relationship with one another. And we are moved, verse 17, by our thankfulness for Him to respect His authority and to do what He has asked us to do. That's a very simple thing. But thanksgiving leads us. It does for us. It moves us to worship. Notice the parenthesis here. All of this is contained. Verse 15, thankfulness. Verse 17, thankfulness. That's what it ought to do. Let's close with the last chapter here, in chapter 4 and verses 2 through 6. Continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. Meanwhile, praying also for us that God would open to us a door for the word to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in chains, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom toward those who are outside, redeeming the time. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. Thanksgiving finally keeps us from being all about ourselves. Keeps us from self-centeredness. And we ought to be earnest in our prayers. There's two words that are found here, the word earnest and the word vigilant. The word earnest in the Greek has the idea of steadfast strength towards something. It is to show strength toward. Is that a strong area of our life? Is that an area that we show strength in? That we're earnest in that. We're earnest in prayer. We move in that direction of strength in prayer. And then the other word here, vigilance, is literally stay awake. It's the language of a night watchman who's watchful, who's responsible, and who is awake and alert. When we're giving thanks in our prayers, it is not all about us. Sometimes our prayers can get that way, can't they? Where it's all about us. But it is about God, and it is about others. And we pray that God will open doors of opportunities. And I'm thankful for the opportunities recently that we have had. Perhaps that's because we've been thinking about it, because maybe that's because we have been praying about that. Thankful prayers are not selfish wish lists for us, where we just have those things that we want and we approach prayer to God as if it is a catalog in which we can open and just ask God for the things that we want. That's not the way that prayer ought to be. But we, in those prayers, are thinking about others, and in our lives that translates into the fact that we are thinking about other people. We are moved to think about others. We are moved to think about outsiders in our approach to them. If you will, turn back to Colossians chapter 2 just for a moment. Thankful heart, folks, does a lot for us. Thankfulness does some things, and Paul helps us with that. Joy in Philippians, thanksgiving in Colossians. Thankfulness demonstrates our appreciation to God. It helps us to stay away from false things, because why would we be moved ever in that direction if we understand what God has given us through our Lord Christ? It leads us to want to worship Him, and it gets us outside of ourselves. That's what the book of Colossians communicates to us. Perhaps you're here this morning and you know that you have not had the thankful heart that you ought to for what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for you. In Colossians chapter 2 and verses 12 and 13, we'll close with this passage. But what wonderful things God has done for us. And how can we not be thankful? The beginning of that thanksgiving is taking advantage of His mercy and of His grace and becoming obedient to Him with our lives. And then walking in such a way that's worthy of what He has done. Colossians 2 and verse 12, buried with Him in baptism, in which you also were raised with Him through faith in the working of God, who raised Him from the dead. And you, being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, He has made alive together with Him, having forgiven you all trespasses, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and He has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross, having disarmed principalities and powers, He made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. Are you thankful for that? May God help us to be. And if there is someone here this morning that needs to be responsive to the gospel of Jesus Christ, we'd love to help you with that from the bottom of our hearts. If there is someone that needs to be obedient today, why don't you do that while we stand and while we sing.